Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, we're going to do some eschatology today. Say eschatology, would you?
Eschatology.
Oh, yes. There's some of you who, what is eschatology? Well, aren't you glad you came today? Because now you can find out. Eschatology, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about other stuff, too. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you need a minute, say, well, if you need a minute, just hurry up, because we're going to go. I'm going to read 10 verses for us, starting at verse 5. 2 Thessalonians, my Bible says at the top of chapter 2, the man of lawlessness. As we're going to take a look at Antichrist and all that kind of stuff that happens in, and people get excited to hear about that. Are you going to be excited about hearing about that today? Amen? We're just going to be excited to be here today.
Amen.
There we go. That's what I like to hear. Thank you very much. All right. Larry, I need to get an amen from you so that you can just lead everybody into that. All right. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 through 15. Don't you remember, this is a letter from Paul, by the way. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? Paul's trying to work out some confusion here. He says, and now you know that what is holding him back, this man of lawlessness, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. It's kind of confusing, isn't it? We're going to talk about that. It won't be confusing. So that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. But we ought always thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm. And that's what we're going to be focused on today, standing firm. Stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, and there's all kinds of distractions around us. There's all kinds of challenges around us, Lord. Our grip on your truth can sometimes become loosened by the challenges that surround us, by the sweat and toil of our lives, Lord, that we can become distracted and look away to our peril. Lord, I pray, Lord, that truth, Lord, that understanding would come forth this morning, Lord, that we would indeed grab onto your truth, Lord, that we would reject the lie of the enemy, Lord, the lie of our culture that would come and tell us that we have no need. Lord, and that we would come to put a focus on you, Lord, and grab on tightly, Lord, and fight the battle, and we'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen,
amen. Amen. Talking about trusting the truth today, the truth as revealed by our Lord. Amen. This is something that you can indeed grab onto. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
Yes, we're talking about grabbing onto the truth. We're talking about the challenges to that grasp. And I was thinking about holding on and all that stuff. I was reminded 30 years ago, I was, as Ola is attending Fresno State University. I was not a Christian. And I was way not a Christian. And there is a thing that they do at Fresno State in the spring. It's called Vintage Days. And there are, it's a 3-4-5-day event with food and concerts and all kinds of contests. They have arm wrestling contest. But what we entered into was the tug of war contest. And there was over 100 teams that were entered. The Fresno State University, California State University, Fresno football team had a team that was entered into the tug of war. I moved into my apartment on campus or next to the campus in Clovis. It was my first apartment ever, and I figured I ought to meet the next door neighbor, say if I'm too loud or anything like that, you know, that I just tell them that just let me know and I'll just chill. And so my roommate was the starting defensive tackle, not my roommate, my next door neighbor, was a starting defensive tackle for Fresno State. He was like 6'9", 270 pounds. And I just went over to his house, and he opened the door, and he literally filled the door. And I went over, and I said, you know, I came over, you know, I'm your neighbor, and I told you, I was going to tell you that if I ever made too much noise, to just let me know, but don't even worry about that. I'm just going to be quiet. So anyway, these guys had a team, and we put together this tug-of-war team, and it was an incredible challenge. And so is the Christian life a challenge. So is the Christian life a struggle. It requires stamina, and it requires strength. And that is what Paul is really talking about today. We're in a series, we're in a series called Better Things Coming. There are better things coming, but on the way, there are going to be some challenges. I'm going to describe this thing to you. We're going to talk about eschatology, which is the study of end times. That's what the Thessalonian church was having some problems with. That's what this graphic is about. The sequence of events about the tribulation, and I'm just going to show this to you right quick. This right here, it focuses on the seven-year tribulation, okay? And it's split in half, and there's a lot of details of this. All the seals and the trumpets, you can read about the book of Revelation. But right here is where we are, the church age, where you can accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be spared from the judgment and the trials and the tribulation. Now, I'm going to talk to you about pre-tribulation rapture today, and there's some debate on that because sometimes we struggle with totally understanding all that the Word has for it, but some of it is quite clear. Now, we're going to be talking about three main aspects of what are going on is the rapture of the church, which shows the meeting of with the Lord in the air, and then the revelation or the revealing of the man of lawlessness, who is... how many of you guys, I date myself here, but how many of you guys, when you were young, went to go see The Omen, the movies The Omen? Remember those? Yeah. So you can tell all the old people, yeah. That was a big deal, man. I was like, I think 15 or 16 when the first one came out. And that was talking about the Antichrist. John uses that term, 2 John, I believe, talks about the Antichrist appearing. And then the third thing we're going to talk about is the return of Christ in power and in majesty. Okay? So those are the three main things we're going to be talking about. Let me give you some verses for those. The rapture of the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, says, listen, this is Paul talking to the church in Corinth. Listen, I'll tell you a mystery. We will not all fall asleep. And what he means there is we're not all going to die. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back, and there will be Christians that are living. That's what he means. He says, but we will all be changed. We'll all be transformed. We're all going to get brand new bodies. You looking forward to that day, Kathy? Yes. Amen. Larry, you looking forward to that day? Amen. Praise the Lord. Balthazar, I'm looking for, you know, I messed my, anyway. In the twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. He goes on to say that we're going to get glorified bodies. We're going to get bodies that are going to last forever. No more pain, no more tears, no more crying. And so we talk about the rapture of the church. We talk about the coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. And that's who Paul talks about as this man of lawlessness. And he says, and Paul is saying he's not here yet. But John tells us, he says, even now many antichrists have come. And as we talk about that secret law of lawlessness, we can see the sin that is so pervasive in our culture. Amen? And it makes it difficult to grab on. All right. You're going to have to move on the back row with that pretty little baby because nobody's looking at me and everybody's looking at that baby. All right, give me that kid. Come here. Now,
Isaac,
if you had your choice, who are you going to look at? Can I get a witness? I mean, I'm not begrudging you ladies going, hey. I mean, even Roki is back there going, hey. So anyway, if you would move back to the second to the last row, because they got a pretty little baby back there. Pretty. Oh, look. Hold that baby up, would you? Look at the little. Oh, she's got the little. I don't know what that is. Like a little dress thing on. Oh man, you guys make it tough on me. I'm trying to grow my beard to look good, and you have these little babies looking just better, you know. He says, "Hey, many antichrists have come. You don't have to leave. You can stay in that last row. That's okay. Anyway, okay. Let me get back on track. I'm totally gone. All right." All this points to the Antichrist, the rapture of the church, returns to the return of Christ in glory, where there'll be the great victory on that last day. Amen? And so we remember that part. Paul says, man, all this is planned out. He's talking to the church in Thessalonica. What are you guys worried about? Focus on the truth. Don't buy the lie. And you will be just fine. Title of today's message is Trusting the Truth. All right, let's take a look. He says, hey, you're going to be able to see this. Believe me, you won't want to see this. But if you miss the rapture of the church, you'll know that you missed it. There won't be any doubt. He says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, he's talking about that meeting where we meet the Lord and the rapture of the church where Christians come. It says that Jesus is going to come in the air. There's going to be a meeting and the dead in Christ rise. That's called the rapture, okay? And so all the believing Christians are going to be raised up to Christ in the air. And guess what? That Sunday, the Sunday after the rapture, the churches are going to be pretty empty. But not totally empty. There'll be some pastors preaching, wondering where all their people went. And they'll be left because they're not saved. There'll be people in the congregation, I wonder where pastor went. I wonder where the worship leader went. What happened to everybody? And the only people left in the church are going to be the fake Christians or the false Christians. He says, that's what they're talking about. And the Thessalonians thought that it happened. And they thought they were lost. That's the concern. All right? He says, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled. Now, I'll tell you what. If you thought you missed the rapture, would you be unsettled?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Whoa, no. Because then you got this great tribulation, the Antichrist coming, all this persecution. You don't want to be in the tribulation. He says, don't be alarmed or unsettled by some prophecy, report, or letter supposedly have come from me, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Paul has a message of comfort to these folks. It's going to be okay. You're okay. He says, Jesus is coming back the day of the Lord. This return of the Lord is referenced all throughout Scripture. And it was a topic that he had talked to with the Thessalonians before in his first letter. Chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians says, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command. Now, he's talking about, we read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now we read it again about it in 1 Thessalonians. And Daniel talked about it. John talks about it. It is a topic of Scripture. The Lord wants you to understand that there is a progress of events that's going to happen that we can look forward to. Amen? Amen? Okay, I want to cover this as much as I can, but I could probably preach for 10 weeks on this. All right, the Lord's going to come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, And the dead in Christ will rise first. I mean, the grave, people can come out of the graves, man, just go right up in the air. And after that, we are still alive, and our left will be caught up together with them, who, the people that have already died, and in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. All right? And that's what he's talking about. And he says, hey, this is a great reappearing. We have a blessed hope. The Bible talks about the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The exit of us from this polluted world. My wife goes, man, I am tired of this world. I am ready to go. And I always say, well, you got to wait for him. You know, because he called us to this place at this time to deal with the stuff that we're dealing with now. Amen? Amen. All right. So the Thessalonians were going through some major stuff. They were going through such persecution and such suffering that they thought that the Antichrist had come. Now, I don't know that we can really relate to that. Maybe if you were a Christian in Vietnam or in China, you'd be thinking, man, this, you know, the leader of China is the Antichrist, and I'm being persecuted. And that's kind of like what the Thessalonians were thinking. And Paul's going, no, no, no. What you're going through is not bad enough. It's going to be worse. Again, what we're talking about is this rapture. So people kind of going up in the air right here at the beginning of the tribulation. He says it hasn't happened yet. You would be able to recognize it. Suppose they got a letter from Paul saying, oh, you guys missed the rapture. You're messed up. And Paul's going, guys, I was with you. I mean, like, with you 2 months ago. What's up? I just wrote you this letter. Come on, somebody's trying to rip you off. Somebody's trying to lie to you. And Paul says, relax. You can find stability in the truth. Now, some of you are living in situations of instability. And it is because you do not have a grasp of the truth. The more you grab onto the truth, the less turmoil you're going to have in your life. Now, you're still going to have turmoil because Jesus said, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. But you're going to quit messing your own selves up. I mean, these guys are buying a lie, and they're messing their own selves up. And Paul says, what are you doing, man? Don't you remember I was just talking about this? What, do you think I changed my mind? Grab onto the truth, and you can find stability in your life. He says, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're going to be fine. It's when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, kind of what Aaron was talking about in that obedience thing. When you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you better watch out. Are we okay? All right. He says, you're going to be able to see the signs. You're going to be able to tell if you miss the rapture of the church. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. So, let me go back to that graphic here. It says that as the rapture of the church happens, all the good people are going to be gone. And what's going to be left is evil people. And you guys think that our culture is kind of getting a little bit more evil these days? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, guess what happens when all the good people are raptured? So I say there's going to be some good people that are going to be left. They're just not going to be saved. When the saved people are raptured, there's going to be a massive leap ahead of evil. There's going to be nobody restraining them. We talk about the Holy Spirit as well. And so what happens is the rapture of the church and this leap ahead, not in time, but just progression of evil. And then the man of lawlessness is going to be revealed, and he's going to nucleate this evil mood or the move, this apostasy, this anti-God move. You know, there's kind of an anti-God move in our country. take the Lord out of the schools, out of the courts, off TV. You know, I mean, you can't pray. Don't give anybody a track in school or anything. Kicking kids out of school for having a Bible. Crazy, crazy stuff. Well, what this is going to happen, it's going to be worldwide. And now, you know how President Obama came and just energized the youth in this country? And it's like, here's a guy that we can finally relate to. Here's a guy who knows what we're thinking, knows what we're feeling. And they came out just from everywhere. And the young people showed up and the young people voted. Well, just take a person like President Obama and just advance him to a worldwide figure, right? That would then nucleate all the young people, all the old people, all the evil people, and he will rally them, and they will follow him. He said that, Paul tells us, that is what the tribulation is going to look like, and it is going to be evil. He says, that hasn't happened yet. He says, let me get my back here on track. Where are we at? The rebellion of the fake Christians. And the man of lawlessness is good. Now, you can read about more about the Antichrist or the man of lawlessness in Revelation chapter 13. He's gonna set himself up against the Lord. And he says to the Thessalonians, don't be deceived. And he's not saying to be deceived by the Antichrist. No, he's saying don't be deceived by the people around you that are telling you that this has already occurred. Don't be deceived by the people around you that are coming against the truth that I have given you and that the Lord has given you. Hold on to the truth and you're going to be fine. Now, what kind of people will try to deceive you? Two kinds primarily. First kind of people that are going to try to deceive you is people who are deceived. Right? I've been lied to. I believe the lie. Come on board. Let's buy the lie. And they don't even know it's a lie. They think it's just the truth. And they're going to try and pull you in. He says, even though they're genuine in their error, they're still living lives of error. Don't follow them. Don't go with them. Don't be deceived by them. The second type of people are people who are going to try to deceive you on purpose. For their gain, for kicks, for whatever. They're lying to you. They know they're lying to you. And they want to get you to do something that you shouldn't be doing. And Paul is saying, stand firm. You might have to go in that overflow room, girl. She's cuter than me, too. Linda's probably cuter than me, too. Yeah, I know. All right. So two types of people that you have to be on guard with. The deceived and the deceivers. Hold on to the truth. Make sense?
Yes.
Back to my tug of war thing. There's like 100 teams in the tug of war. And I looked more like Joe than I looked like me back then. I was like 20. I was probably 6 feet, 200 pounds, lifting weights, doing all this kind of stuff. We had some big guys on our team. This is a fraternity house. And Al Correa was one of my fraternity brothers. He was one of the 10 strongest men in Northern California. He was ranked. Full contact karate guy. We had some dudes. We had some big dudes. And we started winning. Well, we were far from being saved. And so we started looking for ringers as the competition passed on. And we would see these guys that were good guys that had got beat. We'd say, hey, come on, join our team. And it was several hours long. And one of the guys even went down to his gym and recruited these other dudes that were buffed, made our big guys look not so big. And so as the event went on, we were getting stronger and stronger and bigger and bigger. Problem was, we were breaking all the rules. Oh, my wife picked up on that. Yeah, cheater. Yeah, we were cheating, man. We were cheating like crazy. And we were progressing. We got all the way to to the quarterfinals. The football team had already been beaten. We outlasted the football team. I don't know if we could have beat my 6'9 neighbor, but we outlasted the Fresno State football team. Challenges in life, holding on, progressing, and living in the midst of deceit. Being on your guard, watching out, don't get sucked in, because you can get sucked in with the promise of victory. Paul says, hold on to the truth and you'll find true victory. Point number two, don't lose hold of the truth. See, some of us, we have grabbed onto the truth. Maybe you are here today and you're thinking, you know what, that is something I could go for. I've been buying a lie my whole life. I need something like bedrock that I can grab onto and hold onto. And he said, I'm going to take that. And what happens is the enemy comes and your grips start, you know, it's like, oh, I'm getting sweaty. It's like, you know, it's like these dudes, you know, it's like getting sweaty, my hands slipping off the truth a little bit. Getting so tired. Ugh. Paul says, hold on, because the truth is what's going to set you free. Continue reading on chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to talk about this stuff? Paul says, hey, we went over this. He says, and now you know what is holding him back, what is holding the man of lawlessness back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. What's the proper time? God's time. I want to let you know, God is in control of all this stuff, the whole tribulation and everything. He says, for the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. And we see that around us. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And that one who is holding it back is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is on the job. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit would come, the counsel would come, and he would convict the world of sin. Amen? And it said also that he would guide us into truth. And so that ministry of the Holy Spirit is in the church, is in Christians, guiding, transforming, sanctifying, doing all this great stuff. But when the church is raptured, the Holy Spirit goes too. And there will no longer be any restraint of sin. There will not be any restraint of the man of lawlessness. And he will be revealed. Wrong page. And there will be a massive leap ahead in sin. He says, don't be deceived. The Holy Spirit is working on you. Keep on holding on to the truth. My question for you today is, how is your grip? He said, there's a secret law of, a secret power of lawlessness that is working among the Thessalonian church. And there is a power of lawlessness that is at work around us that would lure you away from the truth. You don't need that. The Lord doesn't care about that. Oh, the Lord will forgive you for that. Go ahead and go for all you want. Think about the drugs, the methamphetamine, the crack cocaine, the heroin, all that stuff. Oh, God doesn't care about drugs. Think about the sexual immorality that is rampant in our culture. Oh, God doesn't care about that. He made us like that. And what that is, it's a lie that would break your hold on the truth. Paul says, you work the truth, you're going to be fine. Grab onto the truth. Hold onto the truth, you're going to be fine. We see a removal of God from our schools, removal of God from our government, our courts. And Paul says, there's this change that's coming. When the Holy Spirit and the church is removed from this planet, where there is just going to be a transformation. I thought I had a picture again. Where that front end of the tribulation, when all that good stuff is taken out, and only evil is left. It's just going to be a leap ahead in evil in our time. Change is coming. And he says that when the Holy Spirit is removed, it'll be a surprise. He says, as it was in the day of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. And Noah's building his boat for a while, a long time. Years and years and years and years. Like almost 100 years. Oh, yeah, what are you doing, Noah? What are you doing? Man, I'm telling you, that rain came. Noah, can we get in there? It was a surprise. And so when the Lord comes back, it's going to be a surprise. He says, two men, reading down from Matthew 24, verse 40, 42. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other one left. Whoa, where'd Joe go? Two women grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, the other one left. Hey, where's Margaret? Keep watch, because you don't know what day the Lord is going to be coming back. Don't be deceived. Keep your grip on the truth, and you'll make it through. Church is going to be taken up. Holy Spirit resides in the church. Church is removed. The Holy Spirit is gone. And then we see the time of the tribulation. You see it now? Right here, the church, the Holy Spirit working, restraining evil, given an opportunity for you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then that is gone with the rapture of the church. And all of a sudden, it's this time of rampant evil. Now the Lord's going to be doing some stuff with the Jews, doing all kinds of miraculous stuff. But I'm telling you, folks, this is not something that you want to be partaking in. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, that's what you're headed for. So, well, I might die before He comes. Well, that's even worse. He's be headed straight to hell, straight to damnation. Real deal stuff. We're talking about today. Amen? All right. Point number two, the time of the tribulation. And then the lawless one will be revealed. Boom, here he is. You know, like an evil Obama worldwide. Everybody's saying, he's the man, he's the man, he's the man. So popular. Maybe it'll be, who's that blonde guy, the actor?
Hogan?
No, he's married to Jolie. What's her name? Henrietta? Oh, Brad Pitt, yeah. Brad Pitt could be the Antichrist, you know. Probably be taller, though. Maybe like 6'4", Brad Pitt. Everybody go, oh, it's Brad Pitt. I'm just saying, you know, it's just, this greater-than-life person will emerge. We'll follow him. And he's cute. That's why the man of lawlessness will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth. Paul tells them that so they can realize, hey, God's still in control here. There's a time frame. There's a progression. The coming of the lawless one, and the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. You guys heard about the hurricane going to New York? Can you imagine? Can you imagine President Obama? And I never been to New York. Let's say it's probably like some big, he's at some pier or something in Manhattan Island, right? And he stands up and he says, no! And the hurricane goes around New York. Can you imagine the response? See, when the man of lawlessness comes, there's going to be miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, you say, well, this is our counterfeit. Counterfeit in purpose. I mean, they're going to be real. They're not going to be fake. I mean, a counterfeit dollar is a real dollar bill, right? You can hold it in your hands. It's created to deceive you and think that it's something that it's not. And so these miracles are going to be real miracles, but the intent is going to have you believe that the man of lawlessness is something other than he is. And the church will be gone, and this evil will be progressing, and you get this guy who's literally supernaturally empowered, bigger than life, saying, I'm going to lead you where you want to go already. And the whole world will follow him. God's going to do a little thing with the Jews, but that's a different sermon. Every sort of evil that what? Deceives those who are perishing. Watch out. Deceive many. Counterfeit signs. There will be no more restraining of sin. There will be no more guide to truth. And then this great move of evil, there will be many who are caught up in it. Notice God is still in control. That Jesus is going to come back and take this guy out. The man of lawlessness only has so much of a leash. And God has a plan in all this. Back to my tug of war. We moved through victory after victory after victory after victory. And we're in the quarterfinals. And it started raining. It's all muddy and wet, cold. And I don't know who we're at, but man, I remember the other team going, "They're cheating! They're cheating! These guys were not on the team to start." And we had fake IDs for them, all this kind of stuff. They'd memorize stuff. And they just kind of grabbed an ID of somebody they looked like. And so I remember Frank DeLito. He was the president of the fraternity. And he was one of the guys, one of the other guys carrying an ID. Giant guy. We're 6 inches from the semifinals. There's like a rope, a cord that's tied onto the rope. And he's running up and down the line, 6 inches, 6 inches, 6 inches to victory. And we couldn't go anymore. We had given everything that we could give. You might have victory in your life. You might be doing okay. But I believe Paul would tell us, and I would reaffirm, that there's only so far you're going to be able to go in your life without the Lord. That at some point, you're going to hit a stopping point. Why? Because at some point, the Lord's going to let you know you're not headed anywhere good. And he will reveal it to you. Last point. In the end, there's not going to be a doubt. He says, they perish. Who's being deceived? All those who are going to perish. All those who are going to be damned to hell. They're going to be perishing. Because why? Because they refuse to love the truth. What's your relationship with the truth of God? Bible schmible. It's okay. I read it. I just read it on the screen when the pastor reads it. Don't really open my Bible. Don't really use my Bible. Bible smible. For this reason, he says what? They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion. God sends them a lie. So that they will believe the lie, and so that they will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. They're secure in the truth, folks. And there is none that's in the lie. As we're pulling on that rope, we came to the end of what we had put together by the lie. And we couldn't find the victory that we wanted to find. And that's what the Lord would manifest to you. And he says in the end, when there's going to be a judgment day, he says, I don't want anybody to be thinking that they're okay. So I'm going to send you a lie that you can bite on, and your lives will end up being so wicked that you'll know that you're damned. You will know that you're condemned. Jesus said, hey, man, I'd rather that you were hot or cold. This lukewarm stuff, it just makes me want to vomit. This makes me want to spit you out of your mouth. He said, we learn about that in, Romans chapter 1:28. says, since they, the men who had seen the reality of God, he says, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind. He gave them over to sin. How many people you know that are just given over to sin in their lives? Amen? Right? And why does he do that, man? Because he gets devoured. I got devoured. Timothy got devoured. Balthazar got devoured. And we come to this point of lostness in our lives. We go, Lord, I've been devoured. Save me. And he says, good choice. You want to love the truth? You want to grab on? I'll save you. But I don't want there to be any doubt. So I'll send you a delusion. I'll turn you over to your sin so you can see how bad you truly are. He says, we refuse to love the truth. Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you don't love the Lord, as Aaron said, he says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. You love the Lord, it's going to be manifest in your life, in the choices that you make. So how's your choices? How's your grip? Well, I got a good grip, but it's just on the cover. I don't get to the inside. I don't know how much stability you're going to have in your life. God wants you to make it through. He says you're going to come to judgment day, and you will either have loved the truth or rejected the truth. There's going to be no doubt. These guys, the guys that, not the Thessalonians, but the people in the tribulation, they will have chosen evil. They will have chosen wickedness. And they will be damned. That's what that word comes from. This, condemnation. All right, last point. Live your life with a grip on the truth. He says, but we ought to always thank God for you. And there are many of you that have grasped onto the Lord, and I thank God for you. Brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved. If you are here today, and I know some of you are here today because God has sent you a message. And that is out of his grace and mercy, says, I will save you. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. He says, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, through Paul's message, through the letters that he wrote to this church. He says, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm. Stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter or from a printer. Grab onto this stuff. It will set you free. It will transform your life. You will be made new. Amen? God's doing a work in you. God chose you. God chose you before beginning of time to do a work in you, to be transforming. He chose you, and you choose him. And there's this combo thing. He does a work in you through the sanctifying work, getting better and better, a little bit day by day by day. And as he does this work, you respond by grabbing him more and more and more. I mean, you come to the Lord, you're not going to be perfect in one day. Can I get a witness on that? He calls you to the Lord, and you're going to get better a little bit day by day by day. So my question is, what kind of choices are you making? How are you doing in your choices? Are they reflecting a love of the Lord and a love of the truth? A rejection of the Lord and a rejection of the truth. When you grab on to the truth of God, you will get the strength of God, because you can only go so far on your own. Last picture. We stayed several minutes, 6 inches from the victory. I was straining with everything I had. Frank DeLeo was going, go, go, go. And I kid you not, I was looking at the rope in my hands, and it just went zip. About 18 inches of rope just slid right through my hands. And brakes going, no! And looking down, zip! Another 18 inches. Our arms weren't moving. We're still holding just like this, and the rope is just sliding right through. And we lost in about, I want to say about 25 seconds. I mean, it started going. I don't know if the other guys gave up or what, but it was just zip, 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 zip. Beep! And we just laid there, exhausted in the mud, wet and cold and defeated. Paul says, don't be deceived. There is a defeat that is coming that you will not be able to move around. He says, you grab onto the truth and you will be okay. You find stability in the truth and you're going to be okay. Now, some of you are new to the Lord and you have just grabbed on and you are just excited. Whoa! This is the best thing I've ever experienced in my life. Keep on holding on, folks. Just keep on holding on. The Lord will transform you day by day by day by day. And in 6 months, people will be going, what is up with you? What is wrong with you, man? Some of you have been holding on for a little while and have seen those changes and have seen things, but there's stuff that's coming up. And what's happening is your grip is getting a little weak. There's some, maybe not big things, but little distracting things. And you're not focused so much on the truth anymore. So the Lord says, what's your number one priority? Because if I'm not your number one priority, we got a problem. If I'm not your number one priority, there's a lie that's coming to you that's going to cause you to let go. And so what happens is I talk to people, you know, and it's like, how come it's so hard? Say, the Lord lets you experience challenges so that you can become stronger. So that your grip on this becomes tighter. I wish God would just take those challenges away. Then your grip on the truth might be like this. He says, no. You're down there with all those messed up people. I'm going to let the devil come. I'm going to let the Antichrist come. I'm going to let all that stuff happen so that when people grab on, they know they're grabbing onto something. And you got some stuff that's going on in your life right now, and it's challenging your grip on the truth. And Paul says, don't be deceived. Don't get ripped off. There's too much at stake. And there are some of you that are holding on tight. And the Lord is saying, you know what? Time to go to the next level. And you're thinking, I'm kind of comfortable here, Lord. He says, no. Because guess what, folks? If you're going to be obedient, it's not up to you. Does that make sense? Yes. Obedience, what you're obedient to is not up to you. Whether you're obedient, that's up to you. Hold on tight. Trust the truth. It will deliver you through every challenge that you have. Lisa, would you come up and play? I'm sorry if I'm a little bit long. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning. Lord, there are those that are here today, Lord, that are seeking to be set free, Lord, that are seeking, Lord, that have been deceived and have been lied to, Lord, and you have sent, Lord, a ray of truth and a ray of hope, Lord. 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 A ray of hope.